Okay, I really believe probably one of the biggest things that has potential of holding any of us back in our Christian life is thinking wrong about God. Thinking wrong about God and not having an accurate idea in our minds of what he thinks of us. Okay. This is a passage of scripture that I've been very familiar with for quite a while. In fact, I remember when I was in junior high, somebody had put part of this psalm to music, and our teen choir at our church singing part of this psalm. So I've been very familiar with this song for this psalm for a while, but probably about maybe 5.5 years ago now, I was that stage in life that I was in. I was praying about Emily, my wife. Okay. Whether or not is she really God's will for me? And really, one thing that made me kind of wonder was having her as my wife seemed like a situation that was too good for me. Okay. And really, just in my Bible reading one particular morning, the Lord used several places in this, several verses in this psalm to help me think accurately about him. Okay, and without saying anything else, let's just read through at least most of it here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Okay, for sake of time, let's move down here. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Okay, I really wish we had time to read through the entire psalm, and I would encourage you to just take your time reading through this psalm some other time. But the Lord really used this to remind me of how good he is and how he looks at us as individuals. I wouldn't be surprised if you've heard this before. There are others who could, that are actually experienced missionaries who would probably be better to tell you this, but missionaries are not super people, just normal people. Okay? (clears throat) But it's not about the individual. It's about the God that we serve. I just want to take a couple minutes to testify to you that things that God has done for me and for my family, things that, in my opinion, I didn't deserve. Okay, sure, I could talk about the different miracles that God did to lead me to my wife. That would take a long time, so we won't talk about that now. But that's just things that God taught me through that whole process were very important in lessons that God taught me there were very important for me to have learned in order to discern God's leadership in moving us on to where we're going now, moving us to Nepal. After I finished my schooling, you know, it was kind of fun. I could tell kids that, you know, I was done with school forever after I got my master's. I'm going to have to be in language school, though, so not quite done with school yet. But I wasn't quite sure, you know, the next steps Lord wanted me to take. So I took a construction job for a little while. I really enjoyed that. But as the Lord was convincing me that Emily was the girl he wanted me to marry, I recognized, okay, I'm going to need to get a different job. The job that I had, it was a friend of mine who had started up a new construction business. And I really could have been getting paid a whole lot more, you know, doing the same thing somewhere else, but I was helping out a friend. And I really enjoyed working with him, okay? He and I built a couple of houses together, and I enjoyed it. It was fun. But driving each day to work, I was driving at least 45 minutes just to get to work, okay? And recognizing that I was going to be getting married soon, I needed something that would pay better and something that was closer to home. I didn't want to have to be driving 45 minutes every single day on top of separate from work hours. So I knew I was needing something, so I started praying for a different job. Now, a little bit of background. There was a guy that just in between college semesters that I had worked for. He's a member at our church, and I had done remodeling with him for a little bit. And I had thought for a long time, if this guy had his business still, because he had sold it, he had really kind of dismantled his business. Things had gone bad kind of in 2000, towards the end of 2009, moving into 2010. Things had gone rough, and he had kind of had to put his business away for a while. But I thought, boy, if this guy still had his business going, I would love working with him again. Well, getting closer to the time when I was going to need a different job, at church one day, this fellow comes up to me and says, hey, how would you, you know, he asked me if I wanted to do just a one-time job with him. I said, sure, you know. But then after that, he said, what would you think of doing, you know, working together full time? I said, what do you mean? Well, he had been in contact with a window and door company, and he was actually praying for a different job. You know, he had done a bunch of odd jobs since he had put his business away, and the Lord just miraculously put things together, and weeks later, I was working for the same guy. You know, I had been praying for a new job, and one that was closer to home, one that would pay better, and the Lord provided a job for the guy that I wanted to work for, even when I didn't think that was even a possibility, because he had, years ago, he had kind of closed up his business. And a lot closer to home, ended up being a much better paying job. And the Lord put it all together just in the time that I needed it. Worked for him for about 5 years up until just a few weeks ago. And we had known really through the summer that really in the fall we were going to needing to be launching into full-time deputation. We had started part-time and the Lord had blessed, but we really needed to work at this full-time in order for things to progress more quickly. And this is just weeks ago. Okay, this is a lot more recent. My boss had really been a great boss. He had continued over the last 5 years to give me raises, and I really enjoyed working with him. And but he knew, and I knew that, you know, this fall we were going to be launching into full-time deputation. And honestly, I had my doubts and my fears. Okay, got a regular income. We have about 15% of our support raised. I wasn't exactly sure how everything, financially speaking, was going to work out. So it was the last Friday in September that it was my last day at work. And we had been at a couple of missions conferences, and we went to one in Illinois. And it was that Sunday of that missions conference through Thursday. Okay, now this is very recent. This is the first Sunday in October through the following Thursday. God provided for us just within those 5 days more money than I would make in a month with my remodeling job. Now, is every week going to be like that? No, not every week has been like that, but that was a very clear demonstration. Did God need to do that drastically in that short amount of time, providing us that much money? No, he didn't. But he was just reminding me that like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. The God we serve is an abundantly good God. We're not always going to understand everything that happens. There's going to be times when we are definitely tried, times where we're not going to be sure how everything's going to work out. But we can't forget that our God is an abundantly good God. We have to remember who he says, what he says about himself, his character, what he thinks of us, because that is truth. If we get focused on our circumstances, we're going to veer off of truth. But we've got to remember what God says about himself, because that is true. And God will always come through. We're not always going to see how it's going to work out, but God is good. God is good.
Amen. What a privilege it is to be here with men that love the Lord. Amen. I'm excited about that. As a missionary to Brazil, you know what our church needs? Men that love the Lord. Amen. And so it's a great privilege this morning to be able to be with you this morning and just encourage you in the word of the Lord. And just like I would my men back home. Amen. And I was talking to one last night, one of the men from our church. And he called me and talked over an hour on the telephone, And just praise the Lord for the relationship God's given me with the men of the church. But they had a really good day yesterday. They had a special kids' day, which is kind of like a one-day Bible vacation school. And they just had an amazing amount of kids there yesterday. But the reason is because there's people in the church that went out. There was one man in the church. He made three different trips in his car and brought 15 kids in his vehicle alone to church. Amen. And so he was just telling me the church was just full of kids and doing a lot of different activities. And just I saw videos where he was running after them. Amen. And so that made me happy. I wasn't there. Amen. And it was him. But I just praise the Lord for men like that. Amen. The men that are sold out to the ministry, just willing to do whatever. Yep. And that's kind of going to be the springboard, if you will, for that thought into our lesson this morning. So let's look, if you would, in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, there it is. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, that they had all, and they had also John to their minister. This morning, real quick, just thinking about missions and being in the middle of the missions conference, I want to look at our responsibility in the area of missions, amen? Worldwide missions. What is it that God would have me personally to do? Well, as we know, the heart of the Lord is missions. It is so important that the local New Testament church be involved in the area of missions. Verse 1, we see here, now there were in the church that was at Antioch. Amen. There was a local New Testament church. There was a church in Antioch. That was involved in starting other churches of like faith. Amen. Yep. It's up to the local New Testament church to reproduce itself. No one else is going to produce local New Testament churches. It's the church's responsibility to reproduce local New Testament churches. And God does that by using men, by using the people of the local New Testament church. Amen. And so the church said, we're going to separate. Now, we prayed about it, and we decided by the leading of the Holy Spirit that we're going to start more works. Amen? We're going to send out missionaries. We're going to send out church planters. And we're going to do that by following the leadership of the Holy Spirit and setting aside men that are qualified, men that are faithful, and we're going to send them out. Amen. Yeah. But you know, in the church, we need men that are qualified. Amen. In the local New Testament church in Antioch, had to have men that were trained and discipled and raised up in the Word of God so that she could send them forth.
Yeah.
But I'm going to, as we just heard just a moment ago, God enables you. It's not we that enable ourselves.
Right.
You know, it was the call of God that sent me to Brazil. But it was also the call of God that kept me in Brazil. Amen.
Right.
We heard this morning that a missionary is just a man. Just a normal, common man. The same things that you struggle with is what we struggle with. The same, you struggle most likely getting up early and reading your Bible. Guess what I struggle with?
Yep.
Getting up early, reading my Bible. We're just common men. But the call God has placed in our life enables us, but also keeps us doing that which God has called us to do. And so we see here that the church it has to be involved in the Great Commission. And it's so important for the church to be involved in this commission from Christ. It was said, there was a quote that says, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed." Amen. So it's a call into action. It's a command. Christ said, "Go ye therefore." Amen. So it's a command we have. But what is it? What is your part in that command? So I want to look at real quick at three different three different ways to be involved in the Great Commission. Three different ways to be involved in the Great Commission. First of all, I want to look at some can go. Amen. So from the local New Testament church that God has set aside has to be the vehicle that sends forth, to be the vehicle that proclaims the Word of God and sends forth the Word of God, out of that organization, out of the local New Testament church, there are some that can go. Now, that's actually few that can go. Not everyone can go. Not everyone can go to Brazil. Not everyone can go to Nepal or Canada or Ukraine or wherever it be. But some can, amen? As the Lord enables and as the church sets aside. Let's look. So we see in verse 1, it was the church in Antioch that what did they do? Verse 2 says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me." So the Holy Spirit said, "I am choosing the men I want to go." Right. It's the call of God. So not all can go, but maybe God has called you. Maybe this morning there are men from the Madison Baptist Church that the Lord is leading and calling you and saying, "I am separating you for my work, for my ministry." Are you open to that? Right. Are you open to be to be one of those few? God will test you.
Yes.
But God will also use you.
Yes.
There will be some times that you'll be like, "What did I get myself into?" Amen. You know, one day I was, there was a pastor, a friend and his family, and a couple others that came from the United States to visit us, and they rented a car. And because of the amount of people we had, and so the ladies, we put them in the good car, my vehicle, and we had to rent another vehicle that wasn't as good. And so it was, you know, 110 degrees on a dirt road, up a hill. The ladies, my vehicle with the ladies in it was going just fine. The men's vehicle, it would not make it up the hill. Amen. And so us guys, except for the driver, which was the pastor, had to get out of the vehicle as the pastor drove slowly up the dirt hill. Amen. And so it's 110 degrees and it's hot and sweating and, you know, and it's just miserable. Like always, every day where we're at on the equator, it's like that every day. But I'm sweating and I saw the ladies coming by and they had their windows down and they're watching all of us men, you know, and waving as they're passing by, you know. And as they passed by me with their windows down, I said, "They said to go to Brazil. They said it'd be fun in Brazil." You know, I was just messing around and stuff. But sweat was coming down, and they thought it was hilarious. Amen. It's not always going to be what you think it is, but God will enable you. We went to, my son and I, years ago, we went to an Indian tribe that invited us there for anniversary. I think it was the 20th anniversary of their local Baptist church there in the tribe. And so we were there, and the chief came up to my son and I, and he said, "We want to invite you as the missionary and your son, because he's your son, to come and drink this drink with us. It's a drink of honor, and you know, and only for the chief of the tribe." And the men that he calls to, you know, drink it with them. So I said, "Sure," you know, and didn't know what I was getting myself into. Amen. So we went over there, and there was a circle about five men from the Indian tribe there, and my son and I, and they had this big nut that they had taken the fruit out of it, inside from this fruit, and then they made a cup out of it, out of tar, put tar around it. And so anyways, this is this big shell with this yellow drink inside of it. And it smelled nasty, looked nasty, and tasted very nasty, amen? And there's chunks of stuff floating. You're getting your appetite up, amen? And it tastes like vinegar, kind of, and it was very strong. And, you know, we're drinking it, and I'm like, whoo, you know, and my son drank it, and, you know, he didn't, you know, he tried to hold his composure because he didn't want to offend him, but, you know, you could tell that he did not like it either, you know. And so we drank, and it was, you know, shivers up your spine and that type of thing. So the Brazilian pastor that was there, missionary, he came up to us afterwards, and he said, "You guys were invited?" And we said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm glad you went." He said, "You know what that was?" I have no idea, you know. And he told me it was some fruit, this drink. They made some fruit drink, you know, but they don't have blenders, you know, in the tribe. So that morning, in preparation for this special drink, the chief sat there that morning, took this fruit, put it in his mouth, and chewed it up with his saliva and spit it into this big shell. And then I got to partake of that. Bless God. Pray for your missionaries, would you? Yeah. Amen. Amen. We really need your prayers. We get into some stuff. And so when my son found that out, he's like, "Oh, man, now it's kind of cool. Hey, man, look at, we're men. Hey, amen. We drink that." But I'm glad I didn't know what it was beforehand. Yeah. Hey, the Lord will put you in situations when you say, "Here am I, send me," that you don't want to be in. But he's going to enable you. I was sitting around with a group of pastors. We were just on the field, 2005. And there was five pastors sitting around there, and they were saying, "Oh, this missionary speaks very well. This missionary can't understand a thing he says. This one's doing all right," you know. And they're, you know, critiquing how well the missionary spoke speak Portuguese. And so the one that they said, "You can't understand a thing he says," I started looking at him like, that don't make sense to me. I said, "Because all five of you are his preacher boys." The one they said they can't understand was the man that led him to the Lord. The one they said they can't understand was the one they went to the Bible Institute with, you know. And I'm like, obviously you had to understand something, you know. They say, "You know, Brother Sam," they said, "we may not be able to understand very well what he says, but we see the love of Christ and the love of the call he has for us through his life."
Amen.
You know, if God's call you, you're going to make a way. Amen? You're going to figure out a way to fulfill his call. So some can go. Not all can go. Few can go, but not everyone can go. But, you know, a few can go. But many can sin. Amen? Many can sin. Let's look, if you would, verse 3. "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they," what? "They sent them away." Romans 10 very clearly gives us the recipe on how to reach the lost. "For whosoever," Romans 10:13, "shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But how are they going to call on him? What? If someone doesn't preach, amen? If someone doesn't go, and how are they going to preach except they be sent? That's the recipe that many send. So maybe God's not called you specifically. Maybe he has. And that's what we're praying about this morning, amen, preacher? Yeah. That's what we're praying this missions conference, that if some can go, few can go, and maybe you are one of those few, and we're praying for you, amen? Where you come this morning and give your life to the Lord. And when I was a 13-year-old boy and I felt the Lord leading me, I said, "Lord, I feel like you're leading me to Brazil, but I'll go wherever you want me to. If it's Brazil, I'll do it." Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Say, "Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go." But but many can sin. Those who are part of the local New Testament church, just like in Antioch, they sin. It's our responsibility to sin. What are we doing to sin others forward? So few can go, many can sin. And actually, we're really close to Acts. So Acts 11:29. We're in Acts, so let's go over Acts 11:29. Then the disciples, those that are followers of Christ, students of Christ. So then the disciples, every man according to his what? Ability. Determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So they helped them, they sent them forward, they helped the brethren, but what? According to their ability. Our abilities are all different. Our personalities are all different. Our ways are all different, but according to our ability, God wants us to send. Amen? Pray about this week. Pray about today. Lord, according to the ability you've given me, it won't be like brother so-and-so. It won't be like sister so-and-so. It's according to your ability. Yes. Lord, how do you want me to send? So few can go, many can send. And then thirdly, and we'll finish up here, third point is all can pray. Amen? Verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed. Amen? It wasn't just, let's just send. No, they said, we're going to actually fast about this. We're going to set ourselves apart. We're going to say, Lord, I'm separating this time and these things in my life to focus and give attention to the need of missions. Yep. That's what we need to do. Say, Lord, there's a need. Amen. There are missionaries that are going to drink stuff. They don't know what it is. Yeah. I'm going to pray for them. Amen. All can pray. Lord, I pray for Nepal. I pray for Brazil. Lord, I'm praying for Canada. Will your will be done through the ministry of our local New Testament church? So, verse 7, look at the result of missions. So, we'll start in 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country of Sergarius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, catch this, and desired to hear the word of God. That's the result. There are those that want to hear the word of God. How are we going to participate? Well, few can go. Many can send, and all can pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rogers. That. All right, Brother Esayenko gets the joy of being the final one, which means that he is really up against the clock. So
right, how much time do we got?
We need to be done at 20 after that clock. Maybe about 22 after, according to that clock.
Okay. All right, very good. Turn to John chapter 4. As I get hooked up here, John chapter 4. And we will begin reading in John chapter 4, verse 5. And here's what it says. It says, then cometh he to Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then send the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast said, well, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem, in this place where men ought, or the in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and is now, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is Christ. When he is come, he shall teach us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto men, Come see a man which told me all the things I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore the disciples said one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth, receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is the saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap, that whereupon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered under their labors. What we have right there is an incredible story. Jesus, being led by the Spirit, sits down by a well and meets this woman, and it completely breaks open this community. Phenomenal.
Yep.
Did you know that God wants you and I to have that kind of experience as well? Did you know that all over Madison, there are people right now that are lost, that are in bondage, that have sin issues, that are living messed up lifestyles, and God wants you to interact with them. And you know, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, if you are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, God is going to lead you to those people. That's what he does. He has a love for the people of Madison, and he wants you to reach. And so really, Jesus in this passage is giving us an example of how we're supposed to walk. You know, there's some people in Madison that are kind of, you know, if you hung out with them, you might not be very comfortable with them because your life is just very different. You know, this was a Samaritan. And it was somebody that Jesus, you know, if he was just a normal Jew, he wouldn't have been comfortable to hang out with. But God wants us to be with people that are different than us so we can reach them, so we can see their lives changed and transformed. Yeah. And we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want to share a quick testimony. I shared this a little bit yesterday, but it's a testimony of just the Holy Spirit leading me to somebody who is specifically ready to hear the gospel. I was over in Bolingbrook, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago, and I stopped by an independent Baptist church there and was wanting to just see if I could set up a meeting with the pastor there, but there was nobody there. But I noticed across the street there was a mosque. And as I'm leaving the parking lot, I sense the Holy Spirit say, you got to go in there and you got to go and talk to somebody there because there's somebody there who's ready to hear about Jesus. They're seeking after Jesus. That's the sense that I got. But I argued in my heart. Like, what in the world? No, that can't be the Holy Spirit. And so I continued driving, but as I drove away, that thought was just front and center. And so I finally was like, Lord, this is you. I'm going to turn around, and I drove into the parking lot. And so I began to think, like, okay, so how am I going to, if there is actually somebody here in this building, how am I going to find the one that God's leading me too. And so this is what came across my mind. You know, go and ask for a Quran and go and talk to somebody about how they would get to heaven. You know, basically find the first person that you see and then talk to them. That's why I said, all right, that's what I'm going to do. And so I'm walking across the parking lot and I hear somebody behind me say, hey, can I help you with anything? And I said, I turned around, and there's this older gentleman, probably, you know, early 60s, which is not terribly old. but anyway, he's there, and I say, actually, yeah, I am here to get a Quran, and I'd like to talk to somebody about how I can get to heaven. He said, all right, great, I'll get you a Quran. And so he walks into the mosque there, and he grabs a Quran, like an easy reader Quran, like a modern version of the Quran, and gives it to me, and we sit down, and we begin to talk about Islam. And so we're talking, and he's explaining, and I realize that they just don't have any hope whatsoever.
Right.
They have no confidence that when they die, they're on their way to heaven. None whatsoever. They just really hope that they, you know, if they do good enough, Allah will be merciful, and that's what he kept emphasizing. Oh, but Allah is very merciful. Allah is very merciful. But then I was like, well, you know, you don't really know for sure then. He's like, yeah, well, but Allah is merciful. And I said, well, you know, Hamed, that was the guy's name, he was actually the head imam of the mosque, and actually in charge of an organization that's their goal is to get a Quran into every house in the United States, a pretty big goal. And so I said to him, I said, Hamed, you know, as I was driving by, I just got the sense that there was somebody here who was searching for Jesus. And I said, Hamed, I think that's you. And he just kind of stopped, and the expression kind of changed on his face, and he said, you know, it's funny that you would say that, because when you met me here in the parking lot just a few minutes ago, I was on my way to go meet with a seminary professor here in Chicago, and we were going to talk about Jesus. You know, I got the chills up and down my spine. And he said, and not only that, but there's been somebody in England, this girl from England, who's been talking to me also, and she's been sharing Jesus with me. And so I'm just like, what in the world? Like, this is incredible. And I just pause to think about that for a second. So there's a Canadian missionary, a seminary professor somewhere in Illinois, and a girl somewhere in England, and they're all converging on this one person and sharing the gospel with them. You know, I think God wants that person to be saved, wouldn't you?
Yes, amen.
God wants Ahmed to be saved. You think about that. He is actively involved in getting a Quran to every person in the United States. He's passionate about the Quran. He's passionate about Allah. And I said to him, I said, Ahmed, there's no doubt in my mind that you're serious about your faith. You're a very devout Muslim. I said to him, you know, this is how God operates. I said, in Acts chapter 10, there was a guy named Cornelius, and he also was very devout. And he was serving God to the best of his ability. And I said, Ahmed, you're serving God to the best of your ability that you know how. But I believe, Ahmed, I believe that God is reaching out to you, and he has sent me here to show you what the gospel is more perfectly.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't get saved that day. And I'm like, if this would have happened to me, I would have been like, what must I do to be saved? You know, like that would have been what I would have done. But it just built my faith. You know, God sets people in your life. You know, we were out at the campus, the university campus, and we were giving out tracts. And, you know, I want, to those of you who were there, I want to encourage you. Every time somebody took a tract, every time somebody interacted with you and you were able to share Jesus, that was a divine appointment.
Yes, amen, amen.
Because God wants those people to be saved. And you know, there's people that they're confused, and they're actually seeking after God, and they're trying the best they can. A lot of times, they're trying the best they can to figure this thing out, but they just don't know. And to those people, I really sincerely believe that if you give a tract, it's very likely because that person somewhere said, God, if you're out there, I want to know you. Maybe they even forgot about it, you know? Maybe it's somebody, maybe it's their grandma, you know, 1,000 miles away from here, and they're praying, and they're saying, God, please send somebody to my boy who's in college, who they need, they really need to know the gospel. And then somebody gives a tract. So I want you to be encouraged. You have no idea what God is doing behind the scenes. Be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. You know, the Holy Spirit does lead. He's alive. Jesus is not just a doctrine. He's a person. Right. The Holy Spirit is alive. Yeah. And we've allowed, I think, the Pentecostals and some of this, some of the things that the weirdness and stuff of some of that, that the strange fire, I guess you could say, to strip us away, strip that reality away from us. Like, we don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit because, woo, you know, we don't want to go off into false doctrine or something like that. But I'm telling you, it's in the Bible, and we're called to be led by the Spirit. Yeah, yeah. So make sure that your heart is pure before the Lord, and so that you can be led. Make sure that your heart is willing to say, God, whatever, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Yeah. And you will see a breakthrough like Jesus saw in that community as he followed God the Father. So I hope that's an encouragement today.
Amen.